Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
So I've got Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about what healthy sexuality looks like when a sex addict is in recovery.
One of the things we know about research and sex addicts is that they don't necessarily want sex with their own wife. And so to me, that says he's in really good recovery because he does want that with you. He has been 2 years sober. He has been in three facilities. And I suspect that's how he's wanting closeness with you.
And, you know, that is an important point. If you really wonder about your sexuality, you need to get with a specialist that can help you determine what is healthy sexuality after you've been with a sex addict. You know, how much recovery is he in? Because I'm a big believer that you really can't have healthy sexuality until, and I mean this, until they have proven that they're in good recovery. It's not uncommon for a woman to want to have makeup sex to secure her relationship with somebody after partner betrayal. And yet, what I believe is that that is probably the worst thing for you to do, because you're doing it as a reaction to what you've been through. And for that very reason, it's important to really work diligently on deciding what do you need to feel safe again. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and one of the things that I believe is that we need to really help you find the pillars of safety that can make a difference in your life. And to do that requires, you know, one person who's a bit detached, who has some experience, and who can show you, well, your options, if you will. You know, I tell my clients that I'm a mirror for what I'm seeing in the office. So I was just working with a woman earlier who was disassociating a lot. Well, disassociation is a trauma response. And what we came to figure out was that her trauma started before her husband's betrayal. Her trauma started at an early age when her father abandoned her. And so she learned early on as a child to think about things, imagine things, and fantasize about things that took her away from her home. And when she did that, she didn't have to think about the pain that her father had caused. And then, fast forward 20 years, and she marries somebody, and 10 years later finds out that he's a sex addict, and she's abandoned and betrayed again. And so unknowingly, she drifts off into that land, that emotional land where you just don't feel. You also oftentimes don't think. It's almost as if you're watching yourself go into that land, if you will, that disassociative land. If you think that you might be going through those kinds of issues, you know, make sure you get to a trauma specialist, because that's a trauma response. And not everybody knows how to handle that. EMDR therapists are great at providing therapy for trauma responses. Somatic experiencing is another wonderful type of therapy that can help you be able to stay in your body, feel the feelings, and move through them and figure out where you're going next. And you know I rave about APSATS. That's who sponsors this show. APSATS, which is the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, is an organization that was originally developed by Dr. Barbara Steffens, who wrote My Sexually Addicted Spouse, and her mission was to help partners get through the pain of partner betrayal, of sexual betrayal, but also to stop them from feeling like there was something wrong with them, that this addiction had nothing to do with you. It wasn't because you were a horrible wife. It wasn't because you gained weight. It wasn't because you had too many children. Sex addiction was going to occur. Some of those things may very well have been true in your marriage, but they did not cause the sexual addiction. And so if you end up understandably feeling abandoned, alone, and very wounded, and that results in you second-guessing yourself, your self-esteem, your self-worth, then an APSAT specialist, either a clinician or a coach, is the person that can get you through that period. And you go to APSATS.org, and that's APSATS.org, and you look for a specialist in your demographics. And if you can't find one, go through the directory and see if you can't find somebody who can provide you resources virtually. You know, that's the beautiful thing about telehealth and virtual coaching and virtual consultation is that we use Zoom at APSATS, which is a HIPAA-compliant Skype. It's not Skype, but it's just like Skype. It's HIPAA-compliant, so nobody can breach your confidentiality. I actually do marital therapy. Well, it's not therapy. I'm a coach, and I'm a mental health therapist. I call it relationship coaching. I help people get through the drama and the trauma of discovery and figure out what they can do to tighten up their boundaries. And, you know, what I definitely have experienced from being in this field for over 10 years, over a decade, is that some women are, and men, are incredibly resilient when it comes to partner trauma. And they're horrified at what they've found out, but they're also, they have good self-esteem. So they read up on what this is all about, they listen to podcasts, and they go, this is not about me, this was about him or her, depending on who the addict is. And then you have other kind of partners that they immediately go to what's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. I'm not good enough. And when they do that, and when they end up assaulting their own sense of self, it's a double betrayal. And so, again, the third kind of partner is somebody who is so activated with anxiety, anger, and stress that she can't function. Maybe she's using drugs, maybe she's using alcohol, maybe she's medicating with overspending, eating, not eating. As many of my women that say this is them, call themselves, they go, I'm a hot mess. Well, it really takes a while to stabilize that type of client because they truly are so emotionally activated and they've usually been betrayed before in their life. So they have some complex stress going on. And my job is just to get her stable, period. You can't work on the relationship if you can't stabilize the person. And there are lots of ways to work on any of these three partners. And today I'm really excited because I'm going to be talking with Shauna Meek. And Shauna is a coach, and she's presently getting her training through APSAT. She actually has finished her training, and now she's getting supervision and consultation. And she is amazing. She has put together these betrayal trauma restoration groups because she sees them as a very unique opportunity to find encouragement and accountability and hope alongside others who have gone through the same thing. And so she feels like groups are a great way to support women affected by betrayal trauma, which of course includes infidelity or sexual addiction, or intimacy anorexia or love avoidance, emotional abuse, and all sorts of other attachment issues. She has designed these groups to provide validation and understanding as women work through their many stages of healing. And she really feels like together, the group speaks a similar language for the experiences that they've had. So she's put together these groups, and she's got one coming up real soon. And I said, hey, would you come on the show and talk about your groups? We may have some women that are interested in attending them, hearing more about them. And she said, yes, she would be happy to do that. Her group works with Living Stones Coaching. And she'll talk to you a little bit about the topics and some of the exercises. And, you know, how do you know if you're a good candidate for group? That's always a tough question. How do you know if you're a candidate? But I guarantee you, I've never met a woman who wasn't a good group candidate. Now, I've run over 2,000 face-to-face groups, and Shauna is doing this virtually. And I just think that, that is amazing because, you know, you want to be able to meet weekly with other women in small groups so that you can improve the healing and find hope from others who've gone through that situation. So she's going to be talking about how do you do this and what are the benefits for women who have experienced this kind of suffering. And, you know, I said virtually, but we'll have to find out if they're face-to-face or virtual. I think they are virtual. I hope you had a good holiday. You know, what I know for so many partners is that the holidays are extremely tough. And it either has plenty of triggers because of the dates or because, you know, we all hope that we're going to have a great holiday. And if you're struggling with the betrayal, it has contaminated or at least colored so much of what the holiday used to look like. Now, I'm a big believer in post-traumatic growth, so I also believe that after a while, you have to say to yourself, what can I do to feel better? What can I personally do to create some goals so that my life is not totally dependent on his acting out? Whether he's in good recovery, whether he's slipping and sliding, or whether he's in full relapse, what can you do to stay sane and safe in an unsafe situation? And I do believe you have those skills. I do believe that, you know, you're strong and resilient. And even if you are feeling like you got hit by a Mack truck, and I just talked to a woman today that said, I felt like I got hit by a truck, and then he just kept running over me and over me and over me. And that's how it physically and emotionally felt to her. But I do believe that whatever you're going through can make you stronger and that you have to write that down somewhere, and then figure out a way to look for the little opportunities in your life that show you that you are getting stronger. And when you do that, I promise you, you will feel stronger, and you will appreciate, you know, your own inner character strength. And again, a group is a great way to find out what those inner strengths are. So I'm going to ask Shauna to come on the line, and I'm going to have her talk about these virtual groups that increase the support you need to feel better about yourself. So Shauna Meek, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio.
Thank you, Carol. It's good to be here today.
Absolutely. And I was thrilled that you were going to talk about groups, because what I believe about groups is that not only does it support a woman in her pain and in her recovery, but it also, what you do in group, you do out in real life. So if you're getting support and giving support, then you figure out other ways to have that done in the outside world, in your own communities, in your neighborhood, in your churches, and in your family. So tell me a little bit about Restoration Partner Groups. What made you decide to develop them? And can you share a little bit about do in general?
Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing about taking it out into the rest of our lives, because I think so much of betrayal trauma, we feel isolated. We feel like we can't share this with the world. This isn't for public consumption. And so what I do, and I just have such a passion to support partners, really to empower them to find that acceptance and health in those relationships that matter to them most. And as a personal coach, I have an emphasis in betrayal trauma through APSATS. And my goal is really to provide individual support that gives people hope during these difficult and often devastating times, which, you know, we know that betrayal trauma is devastating. It just shakes a partner, you know, to such a core level that, you know, just helping us get unstuck from those patterns so that we can really, really live fully is my passion and why I do what I do.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so let's just go over what a coach is versus a therapist or a counselor or a clinician. Tell me a little bit about coaching and what made you decide to go into coaching?
You know, I, as far as coaching, I felt a passion, and there's definitely, I've had therapists in my life as well as coaches. And so coaching for me was really an opportunity to take this passion and help people get from where they are to where they want to go, and to focus on their choices and believing that they have choices. That they can make changes moving forward in their life. That doesn't mean we don't look at what has happened, especially in betrayal trauma. So looking at what happened, but a therapist, I think, can help dig, you know, and have a real impactful role in healing those past wounds, whereas as a coach, it's really coming alongside a partnership with the client to say, where do you want to go? How would you want this to look, you know, a little more sanely and peacefully in your life, and honestly look at those places. So that's really what drove me into coaching. And I think being a cheerleader for your growth, supporting you through that, and also pushing you through the tough stuff, the things that are hard to do, I think for me is, you know, kind of gave a framework for coaching that, you know, just allowed for that accountability that a coach can bring. Not just in sessions, but also via email and text between sessions. So that's kind of the uniqueness that I really gravitated to with coaching. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And truly, although a coach is not a therapist, you referenced it earlier when you said she can be a cheerleader for what the client needs to do in their life, to kind of help them find the resources to get that done and to encourage them along the way. So
yeah,
I want to ask you, what made you decide to get APSATs trained?
I had looked at a couple different options to really specialize in coaching. And when I found out about APSATs, for me, the trauma component was so huge to, you know, really be able to look at that angle of being, you know, looking at the multi-level kind of area dimension of trauma and how it can impact a partner so greatly from a trauma perspective. And not just, you know, coming from some background in 12-step, which there is definitely a place for that. It's also not just the codependent piece. So really looking at the trauma and the impact in something that was never endorsed to bring into a relationship, you know, oftentimes with infidelity or sexual addiction or relational traumas and things like that that are attachment rooted. So APSATs was such a great fit for me personally, just to be able to say, yeah, this is really a background and support, and be working with therapists and coaches together as a team was what drove me to it the most, because I think it is a team approach to be able to come alongside partners and say, we need to support this trauma piece and heal this while we also look at where we want to go. Because it is multidimensional, that's for sure. Yeah.
And so you decided to start these restoration partner groups. Now, talk a little bit about what a woman could expect if they were going to sign up for your betrayal trauma restoration group.
Yeah, so what I thought for me, I say, you know, I say a little bit now, I'm a groupie. life wasn't meant to live alone. And what I think is so impactful, and I hear it from clients in groups, that it's a personal way. The groups are designed really to be personal. So I use an online video conference. If you choose, you can just be on, you know, via phone if you choose as well. That's really a choice that the client gets to make. But it's a small, intimate group of women who speak the same language, who can connect at a very deep level because the language is spoken similarly. And really to help so that people don't have to be in isolation and can really support one another as they're doing work, as they're sharing about their experiences, because I think it is such a unique place to be together. And, you know, it's never a group most people want to belong to, but it's a group that can bring so much support, and not even just for that hour and a half a week. Really, it goes beyond that with calls and texts in between and deep friendships that last, that are created, you know, bonds are created like I haven't seen before, really, in this area. And when you come together with this tribe of women, it's really an incredible support for everyone. So that's the reason I created these, and they're international. So being a coach, you can cross, you know, state lines. So you can do these groups, and a lot of people are remote and they don't have an opportunity to maybe have an APSATs right in their area, either a coach or a therapist that really gets this and really understands the partner's angle. So that's,
well, absolutely.
That's my why.
Before,
yeah.
Before you came on the call, I said, you know, one of the things that I really believe is that we do need support. And when you've been betrayed, you don't know who to talk to. You don't know who is safe. You don't necessarily want to contaminate the image of your spouse, husband, boyfriend, whatever, in the eyes of your own parents, his parents, pastors, whatever. And so group is really a safe place to be able to talk and know that it's going to be kept confidential. And then, as you said, obviously, by being international and by being virtual, you don't have to have somebody in your own backyard, and you don't have to worry about having somebody be in your own backyard. You know, you will probably
exactly.
be working with, I can't remember, you said how many women are in a group?
About 8 maximum. So it's a small group, and it's consistent. So you know, you kind of have the same women that you're with. You know, people can come into different sessions, and they're 8-week sessions, but it is year-round, so you kind of really, some people can stay in groups for years and really have that place, you know, consistently in their life. So, yeah. Yeah, I think you said
and
it
so
well,
there,
Carol.
There is no time limit, right?
No. No.
I mean,
there's no set curriculum. You don't have to do that. Yeah.
Wow. And so do the women read books and talk about them? Do they do group exercises? What is the format for your restoration group?
So what I've done is I've taken kind of a compilation of what I think have worked in groups before for myself as well as others and gotten feedback. So I do kind of a rotation every week in groups throughout the month to kind of create some variety and different opportunities for different dynamics of discussion. So what I do is the first week of the month, so that's something I bring as the coach to the group and facilitate a time of discussion and then some individual feedback on the specific topic. So it might be around boundaries, it might be around self-esteem or triggers. There's a lot of things that we can talk about in our topic discussion time. And then the third week of the month is our extended share time. And that is equally divided amongst the women that have joined the group for that week. So in the hour and a half, if we have 6 women, everyone gets 15 minutes and they can share, just have a time to share and just get some encouragement, maybe some feedback in I statements, maybe others' experience. And strength that they've had. And then the other weeks of the month, so the second and the fourth, and sometimes the fifth, we do what's called working sessions. So those are times where you get to come and bring your work and bring any work that you're working on individually. So we don't do a set curriculum because people come in at different places in their journey, but it's a time to share the work. You might be doing some personal work from a betrayal trauma book. You might be working from a partner's workbook like yours, Carol. So some of the ones that have different materials to work through, you can bring your own curriculum, which creates a lot of dynamic, I feel like, to the group because we get to hear different perspectives and different angles with the different work that comes in. So I like variety, and it seems to work well in the groups to bring some variety week to week.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because I have always said this about groups. When one woman does her group work, when she comes in and maybe she writes an anger letter to her spouse, or maybe she writes a grief letter, or maybe she writes down 50 fears why I don't want him to leave me, or 50 fears why I'm afraid to leave. Whatever the exercise is, every woman in that group gets something out of the exercise that the one woman did. You know, it applies to everybody, and that's the beauty of group dynamics. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you hands down how many times people will say in groups, I just got so much. They're giving feedback to the person, but they're saying, thank you for leaving this with me this week. This is something I can take and think about and pray about and decide, wow, I hadn't even thought of it that way. I mean, there's so many different components, you know, in betrayal trauma and going, wow, that's a great perspective. So I see that a lot. And I think having that, I like that you mentioned the anger letter, because, you know, a lot of people think even that specifically, what's an anger letter? Or how do I do an anger letter? And then they see someone share their work, explain how they've done it, and they think, oh, I could do that too and find some healing. So, yeah, I completely agree with that.
So now, how does somebody sign up for one of your groups? What do they do?
So I have a website. It's livingstonescoaching.com. And there is a tab. So I do individual coaching as well. But for my groups, it's the same at the top of the bar going across the top. It's join a group. And say they can go on there. They can even read a little bit more about what groups are. They can sign up right there. And like I said, I do them in 8 weeks at a time, but you can come in the middle as well. So, you know, as groups are going, people are coming, and, you know, I have a 30-minute session prior to starting a group where I meet with the person that's interested in group, and I talk to them about what group is, see if they're familiar with groups, talk to them about the guidelines, and make sure that they really understand the confidentiality and anonymity of the group. And they can go on and sign up directly through my website, do all the scheduling, and then I get the information and send them what they need prior to their first group. And if they aren't sure, they can also just contact me at my email, which is Shauna@livingstonescoaching.com, and they can sit in on a group and really just hear what a group is and just be an observer. So they can do that one time. I do talk to the group about that, let them know someone's going to be sitting in and listening, but I still do that interview time. So we have a lot of safety in our groups, which is a huge priority for me.
Well, absolutely. So I want to remind our listening audience today that we are talking with Shauna Meek, who is in the process of her consultation to be an APSET certified coach. And her website is www.livingstonescoaching.com. You can email her at Shauna, that's Shawna, @livingstonescoaching.com. Or you can read her blog, which is www.livingstonescoaching.com/livingstonesblog. So tell us a little bit about your blog. What do you talk about?
So I talk about a lot of things that relate to betrayal trauma, but also we can carry into life. So some of the topics I'll talk about is willingness, being willing to take that first step. What does that look like for you? Some of my blogs, I have some interactive questions, something that you can take and ponder. Sometimes it's an experience. I talk about boundaries, setting boundaries, and then they don't have to be walls, but boundaries aren't necessarily bad. They can help us navigate through life and have empowerment. I talk about managing emotions, kind of what does that look like for us to have not let our emotions control us, but have some control over our emotions. Acceptance. I talk about acceptance. So there are a lot of topics that I do blog about, and I try to do that weekly just to provide a little nugget of some good material to think about and use in your everyday life as well as being a partner. So it's not just specific to that, but it's also in all the areas of our life. So it's enjoyable for me to write and provide something that fully to others and be able to give something that they can take to use anywhere and pass on. So stay connected. It's another way to stay connected, I think.
Well, yes, and I really love the fact that, you know, you've got this passion for partners. And again, your group is called Restoration Partner Groups. But you also, in your blogs, talk about things that any man or woman would want some help with, whether it's managing emotions or reducing anxiety or making the best of your life, finding success. I mean, that is the coach in you. The coach helps somebody to take their life to the next level. And so you can be anybody you need, anybody, any that you want to be with the help of a coach. So if you don't know how to get through the trauma and the drama, partner betrayal, you are going to have to heal some of those wounds first, but the coaching skills that Shauna will give you will help you to focus on your choices in life. They're almost, if you will, empowerment skills, wouldn't you say, Shauna?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And really knowing that we don't have to stay stuck in those patterns, right? There are patterns that we have in our life. And so really working through those things and just seeing, where do I want to go? How do I want to feel empowered to make these choices and be mindful of my thoughts and feelings and sensations in my body? What does that look like to be mindful of where I want to go and encouraging most steps to take those steps? Yeah.
And can you help our listening audience to understand why it might be helpful to be mindful of what's going on in the body?
You know, this comes from personal experience as well as others' experience. I think our body can tell us a lot. And, you know, when we dive into whether it be therapy or coaching or just being in these dynamics of groups, we talk about feelings. But oftentimes before those, there's sensations in our body, and learning to be aware and mindful of what that is to help us really tend to those places in our body, especially in trauma, being able to tend to those places in our body and be one with them and be mindful of them, I think is a really, really empowering place to not deny sensations in our body, you know, whether it be a tingly, fluttery feeling that we have that might not be a cognitive feeling, but that's a, you know, something that we're feeling somewhere in our body, or a tenseness in our jaw or our fist with anger, really going, oh, wow, I'm recognizing that, is a really powerful place to be connected to yourself, I find. And so that's something that I think is really helpful throughout life. So we talk about sensations.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you could, you know, because again, our listening audience they're always looking for resources. So if you were going to help the audience practice a mindfulness exercise, what might you tell them to do?
You know, something that I think would be important is really just making an appointment with yourself, finding some time where there's no other distraction. Maybe it's kids, the spouse, family, friends, visitors, whatever that looks like, and scheduling an appointment with yourself to really be mindful and focusing on where you are. Something that I talk about is kind of doing a body scan. You go from head to toe and you recognize is there anything in my head that I'm feeling? Am I feeling any tenseness? Am I feeling any warmth? And going all the way down and kind of scanning our body. Something else I talk about a lot is breathing. So deep breathing. Oh man, do we shallow breathe a lot in this world? moving from one thing to another. And so breathing is really something that I find really impactful, whether it's deep breathing or I do it's called VU breathing. And it's so this deep vibration of your vagus nerve, which is very central to all the organs in your body. So it's a different way of breathing. It's a very deep breath that you take. And so there's things that I feel are really helpful to just really know where we are and connect to ourselves. Also, you know, that's also just quietness, quieting our mind, being in prayer or thought or meditation, in a sense of just sitting with yourself. And I think that can be hard. That can be hard for a lot of us when we're moving fast. So it's really, I think, an important place to be, and it also gives our body some rest. It gives our mind some rest as well. So
it helps to bring safety, too, to an unsafe situation. And you and I both know that part of the APSATS model is to help a partner find safety and to create that safety for the partner, even if she's not sure about her husband's recovery. So, you know, I want to ask you, what do you do in group to help provide that safety? You've already said that you'll let somebody sit in for a session if they need to, although I would think that most women wouldn't need to because they actually know that they're going to feel safe with other women who've been through the same thing. What else do you do to help our women know that this story can be held safely in your group?
Yeah, I do have, I touched on it a little bit. I have specific guidelines in my groups that are really focused on safety and letting women come. Of course, nowhere in this world can we find complete and strict adherence to safety. However, it is something, you know, even though I can't guarantee it, I really, really find it, it is one of those bottom lines for me. If there is ever any safety crossed, it is, you know, something we discuss. And but something that, you know, I really think is important is that everyone be on the same page. So we talk about using I statements. We talk about not giving advice. We talk about sharing, you know, our experience and strength and hope. We talk about confidentiality. That comes up a lot. Every person that comes in signs an agreement that they agree to these guidelines. And, you know, we say what is shared in the group stays in this group. What I find, especially in groups of this nature, is that most of the women, and I do have just women's groups at this time, but I do know that, you know, there are male partners that are affected as well. I just choose right now for this time to do female groups. But I found that others that are joining a group of this nature have the same desire for their story to stay in confidence. So there's never been a breach in my experience in the groups I've been in or led that the confidence has been broken, because everyone takes it. They want theirs to stay safe. And so it's really something that I'm not afraid to bring up if we need to, but it doesn't become an issue when we have the guidelines set. So that's why I try and lay that foundation early.
Well, it sounds like these groups are just a real blessing and an opportunity for women to help each other, to feel safe, to work through their issues. And I want to know, what hope do you think you can share for women that are currently in the midst of their suffering? Because you know that is what happens to women. They truly are in the midst of their suffering.
Yeah, I think you said it well. It's being in the midst and feeling, it's so common to feel alone and to feel confused, you know, emotions being all over the board, a roller coaster, you know, anger one minute and discouragement the next. And so I think, you know, the hope that I can share is it's common. Those are very common and reasonable feelings, and to not know where to turn for support is really, again, why I do these groups and provide this support. And, you know, that the hope is you can move through this. that in a way that is honoring to yourself and others. And there is hope. There is hope, and there is a safe place to come and process. And, you know, the multitude of effects that you might be experiencing in this suffering. And that you can honor who you are and who you're created to be while accepting all these unknowns that are happening that leave you with lots of questions. But you can find who you want to be through this and through the suffering. And so seeing the beauty that comes out through taking a step and taking a willingness to be vulnerable and share with other women really just allows women to come through it, to make it through when sometimes it feels like the suffering is not going to go away. So that's really my encouragement and my hope for women, that they honor themselves in this as they move through a tough situation.
Yes, absolutely. And I would imagine that, you know, some of these women, as they've spent a long period of time in the group, some of them stay with their husbands, some of them end up in a therapeutic separation, and others may end up leaving. But not everybody is able to see their family restored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that so many women want, you know, hope for that restoration. That's not always in their control, or maybe not even the best decision for them. And so we do have a mix. It's the support is really comes around even during those, you know, maybe it doesn't turn out the way that they hope, or it ends in a separation as well, or a divorce, and that happens. And so really knowing that it's still about you, the group, and the time is for you to find that. And so the variety is there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for sharing about these groups. And again, for anybody who's listening, I'm talking with Shauna Meek. And you can contact her at www.livingstonescoaching.com, or you can email her at Shauna@livingstonescoaching.com. Check out her blog. I mean, it is at the same website, /Livingstones blog. And so, Shauna, when if somebody heard the show today, when could they sign up and when could they be in their very first group?
We have a group tonight. we do right now. that is one of our groups, Thursday night. So they can contact me at any point and get in touch. But they could join. We currently have, but we're adding to those groups. So, you know, really just connect and see what schedule I have, daytime and evening. So depending on schedules, they accommodate most time zones. So really at any point, we'd love to have you join, and just to let the listeners know that we'd love to have a conversation and just give you a little bit more information about the benefits, and you can join as soon as you're ready, and we'll be there. So
well, thank you so much, and good luck with these groups. You heard it here today, our listening audience. You could even sign up and start a group tonight. You know, I'm a believer, if something tugs at your heart, don't wait. You know, check it out.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself on the back burner. Don't tell yourself, oh, it's after the holidays, I probably can't afford it. Don't, you know, put yourself first. It's kind of that old adage about you got to put your oxygen mask on you before you can take care of other people. And this group opportunity is one way to do it. Restoration Partner Groups is the gift of betrayal trauma restoration. And these women and Shauna can help you find your own sense of self again. So, Shauna, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. And I just appreciate all the work that you're doing here to just continue to make awareness and provide such a great space. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Keep me posted on other things you're doing, and we'll have you back on again.
Okay. Thanks so much, Carol. Take care.
Bye-bye. You know, I've run over 2,000 face-to-face groups, and I cannot emphasize enough how important group work can be for women. You know, it's a place for you to work on your self-esteem, for your sense of safety, for your own boundaries. It's a way for you to develop and talk about consequences. I mean, these are all hard things that partners have to struggle with because they haven't been put in this situation before. I was just talking to a woman today. I know you've heard about three women that I've been talking to today. And she actually came in with her boundaries and she said, she won't mind me sharing this. She said, I want you to go to 3 12-step meetings a week, and I want you to stop texting women, and I want you to start doing 12-step work, and I want you to talk to your sponsor daily. And she just went on with the list, and I said to her, we'll call her Susie. I said, Susie, what's missing out of your boundaries? And she just scanned those boundaries, and she looked and looked and looked, and she didn't know. And I said, boundaries are about you, and there is not one thing in there that I hear that's talking about you. And she said, well, these are all things I want. And I said, yeah, and you also said you don't want to sound like a drill sergeant, and you said you don't want to be a warden, and you don't want to be his mother. But they all had that tone. And she goes, well, then I'm confused. What do I do? Well, the first thing I said was that we had an excellent show, I do believe, the first month that we were on, in June or July, on boundaries. And I had one of my clients come on, and she had a list of about 30 boundaries, and it was excellent. And I said, you need to listen to that show. Then the second thing I said was, boundaries have to do with you. So what you need to do is say, what do I need to feel safe? And maybe that might look like, I need to feel safe. And it doesn't seem like you're working a hard enough recovery program. And so that does not make me feel safe. And Carol has told me, if you don't work a hard recovery program, this is not going to work because you can't do this alone. Therefore, I believe you're going to need to move out, go stay with your brother or your mother or somebody while you reorganize whatever you need to do to help me feel safe. Okay. Now, you may go, isn't that the same thing? Isn't that like saying, I want you to go to 3 meetings a week? No, it's not. It's a boundary around what will encourage you to feel safe and what are the very important consequences if boundaries aren't able to be maintained. And so, think about what your boundaries are, listen to that show, and just know that we're here for you every step of the way. We're APSATS.org, APSATS.org. We're partner trauma specialists, and we want to make sure you get the best care possible. All right, you make it a great week, and as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. See you next week. And I do mean next week. Oh, I love technology.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.